Welcome to episode 483 of Troubadours and Raconteurs with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. On this week's episode, we feature our annual conversation with the great performing and visual artist, puppet maker, puppet master, activist, among other things, John Bromberg. We talk with John from his farm in Wayne County, Pennsylvania, about his maple tree, Peter and Elka Schumann, bubblegum portraits of friends, paper caves, Hamlet and Ophelia, TNT, New Hope, Marcel Duchamp. Questioning authority, being expelled, nerds, Ozone Park, art or gym, that is the question. Being a beatnik, being a Luddite, freeing Ukraine, the alphabet versus the goddess, patriarchy, blueberries and apples. A grand conversation with John Bromberg this go around. We have an EW essay titled Stilts. All of this will be imbued, infused with the wonderful energy of several great tunes. It is so nice to be with you. Let's get to it then. Episode 483 of Troubadours and Raconteurs.
Never will be. And I cried all the time.
stilts, sandlot games, and rivertop aim, as a smooth, flat rock skips across to another riparian way. The dream world footprints brought for a moment into this sense of reality, and one wonders what she meant by burning roses. Is that not fiercely elegant and wild and pure and from the core of physical existence? Again, the dreams and the sweet, sour fragrances of life intermingle on man-made paths into the skyline with puppets on hands and some pulled by strings. She wants everything. He wants only to dance on street corners, in parks, on hillsides, with kindred spirits and old souls. A world-renowned circus from Venice, Italia, one day came to town and set up camp in the square. Everyone was around. There were big papier-mâché hands and feet, cardboard rabbits colored in white and turquoise for Helen. There was a tuba and upright bass, a couple of snare drums, flags, and a flute. Everything all over and everything in its place. Stilts to walk atop and brightly colored unicycles to ride. Men and women, young and old, with long hair, not worse for wear, but instead glowing bright by each one's inner light, moving through the landscape of nature and human-built structure, with chaos patterns brilliant as the wings of a butterfly or hide of a zebra. I watched and listened, breathed it all in and out, was nourished, we flourished.
Someday. Good morning.
Hello, John Bromberg. Is that you?
Oh, my goodness. This must be the Italian mathematics professor.
Well, thanks for thinking of me that way. Thank you.
Well, you shocked me with your performance in our Sisyphus Project theater work with Peter Schumann. I mean, so, and that's what you portrayed, and you did it so well that, you know, that's your basis, man.
You know, to be in that context, to be mentioned alongside of you and Peter Schumann, and to have had the privilege of working with you is one of the exciting aspects of my life. Honest to God, I'm honored. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and your kids were in it, too.
Yeah, Lorenzo and Chiara, that's right.
That's right.
And Lorenzo went on to be SpongeBob in the Broadway national tour of SpongeBob the Musical. So I think, you know, maybe that production might have spurred an interest in theater for him.
All right. Yeah, that's terrific. What great news. Yeah. So let me go inside. I'm outside putting to sleep an old friend, and it's been this big 100-year maple out here since I've been here, and a strong wind, it wasn't a solid tree to begin with because it had two heads.
Uh-huh.
Two headers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was a split with two headers, and so one of them went off with the strong wind yesterday, and so I'm putting it to sleep and reminiscing of all the shade it gave me over the years, and all the birds it brought, and it just goes on and on. I don't know. Have you ever lost a tree, Larry?
Yeah, actually a big, you were at my house a while back. I have four Norwegian spruce trees in the backyard, and one of them last year was felled by a storm. Yeah.
Norwegian or Norway?
I guess, isn't that the same? No.
not you know where Norway is, and you know where it is the same, isn't it?
I think. Pretty sure.
I was thinking Norway was in United States.
No, and we are sort of criticized for our lack of understanding geography in this country because we're so self-centered.
Well, I fit in right in then.
Yeah, perfectly fit. You fit in perfectly. Let me share with some of the listeners who haven't had the pleasure of hearing you talk with us in the past a little bit about you. John Bromberg is a visual artist, a performing artist, a puppet maker, an activist, among other things. He is the artistic director of Pictures Moved by Strings Puppet Theater. A friend and collaborator of Bread and Puppet Theater's Peter Schumann, John's work has been recognized by the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Rockefeller Foundation, and the Andy Warhol Foundation, among others. Troubadours and Rock on Tours is very happy to have on the program once again our good friend John Bromberg. So, you lost a maple tree.
And it brought to mind also, you not besides all of the blessings it provided me, but it spurred me on to remember that when we got together, this is an annual visit that you usually pay me. So when we got together last year, it was just after we lost Elka Schumann.
That's right.
And so now we're doing tributes to Elka, actually, which I'm very pleased with. We have a show going around, Bubblegum Portraits of Friends. And they're made out of bubblegum, and they're really special because Elka is the one who spurred me on to do this.
What's it called again?
Bubblegum Portraits of Friends. So, we've exhibited three or four times, and it's exhibited as Bubblegum Portraits of Friends by Anonymous. So, and we've built the whole contestoria around it so that we could explain to our audience, who usually has plenty of questions at the end, that we're going to ask them to reserve their questions till a conclusion. Of course, we accept the challenge of trying to answer all your questions before you ask them. Mm-hmm. And but it gives me a chance to talk about Elke Schumann, because it's dedicated to Elke Schumann, this exhibit. So there's so many things that we've been able to interweave into this traveling show. It'll be coming to Scranton, you're on Trudy's mailing list, aren't you?
I am, Trudy.
Oh yeah,
yeah, Trudy.
So you've been following it, but you never showed up. But that's fine, because.
Are you guilting me?
No. You're a busy guy. You're much busier than I am. So I just hang around and in the shade of the maple tree. But now I'm going to have to get a move on because, you know, that whole half of it. So I guess this is the half-life of the maple tree.
Yeah, it's a good way of putting it.
And this maple tree also provided so much maple syrup.
Did you really tap it? Did you tap it for syrup and make syrup?
We used to sell maple syrup.
I didn't know that. You and your children?
Yeah, and we also sold organic vegetables and goat products, goat milk and goat cheese. We made 7 different kinds of cheeses.
This is at PMS Farms, right?
What's that?
This is at PMS Farms?
Yeah, where I've lived for 40 years, I guess, or more, 50 years.
In Wayne County, Pennsylvania, beautiful Wayne County, Lakeville.
Yeah, but you never come up to visit because you're too darn busy.
It's silly. I should come up to visit. Plus, I don't know if I'm going to be bothering you. You know, you're busy, too.
Oh, no. I'm never bothered by visits. I enjoy visits fully, totally. Because, you know, and especially, you know, that we're just kind of coming away from the pandemic, but not quite. And, And another thing we're working on is I'm partnering with Sam Green. Have you experienced the paper caves in Honesdale?
I haven't. Paper caves.
Paper caves. Yeah. Sam is a marvelous paper artist who does these incredible installations, and. So how this came about is she invited me to, and so her studio is in Honesdale, and she has these really two large windows that face out to the street on Main Street, and she invited me to exhibit these bubblegum portraits. So I exhibited those, and at the time I was working on bridge parts.
I remember that.
Remember that?
You talked about that last year, yeah.
Yeah, that turned out to be a bridge to nowhere, because that also was dedicated to Elke Schumann. You see, Elke was my a good friend and my spiritual advisor, and also my mediator between me and Peter.
You had to go through Elke.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
How's Peter doing? How's Peter doing since Elke has passed?
He's getting by, yeah. He'll never stop grieving, of course, you know, because they were together 60 years. But he's getting by, and he's slowing down, actually, but not really. Yeah, we just were up there to celebrate his 88th birthday.
Wow.
And I think you also got the news that he's having an exhibit down in Frenchtown of that Claire Dolan is curating.
Excellent.
And actually, just this past weekend, Peter, he's such a rascal. You know, he turned Hamlet upside down. And so the name of it is Ophelia.
Wow.
And so he offered these two shows for the closing of his exhibit down there. This is in Frenchtown, and it's called Art Yard.
And Frenchtown is in, I'm not aware of Frenchtown. What state?
New Jersey. I'm sorry. It's near New Hope.
Gotcha. Yeah, New Hope's a cool town.
Yeah. Well, they all are around there. Yeah. So, we went down for the opening of that and baked with Peter a bit. And then we went up to visit him for his birthday that I usually do, but I couldn't 1 year because of the pandemic.
You went all up to Vermont?
And then, last year, when we went up to celebrate his birthday, Elka had already had two strokes. So I didn't want to push any kind of celebration on him because he doesn't like to celebrate his birthday anyway.
No? Doesn't want to be reminded?
Yeah. No, he's all right with that. No, he's really... he's really got a good head about mortality.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, he's cranking them out. He probably painted three bed sheets while we were there, and he paints these bed sheets, and they become performances.
He's
extraordinary. I love the guy.
He's
really special to me. I know.
And Bread and Puppet. I mean, is that still thriving? Bread and Puppet Theater. It's such a renowned, well-regarded.
Group. Absolutely is thriving almost as much as ever. Not as much as in the 70s. You know, when they used to go to Europe a lot, but. It's absolutely thriving.
I have a lot of playwrights on the show from New York City and Chicago, what have you, all the big, you know, theater cities. And I mention Peter Schumann when I think they might be into that sort of theater, and they're so deferential, and they're so, you know, they obviously have so much respect for Bread and Puppet Theater. And then I tell him, I worked with him, you know, and I have had him on the show, and I mention you, and they're like, what, really? It's pretty neat. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. Good for you. It's good to toot your horn once in a while, you know?
Well, you know, I don't even realize I'm tooting my horn. I just think, I figure they might know him.
No, I'm only kidding you. I'm only joking.
I do enjoy it. Yeah, I do enjoy when they, wow, you worked with him. He's like a legend. So,
yeah.
But
No, he's right up there with the best. Yeah, and to have the audacity to turn Hamlet on its head, I mean, give me a break. That's what makes him so marvelous. You know, he's not at all timid about tearing things apart and reconstructing them.
What was he trying to do with that? Have you garnered what he was trying to do by? Turning Hamlet on its head?
He likes to work with his with his grandson a lot, Ira. And Ira, what is it called when you're born from infancy with Down syndrome? Yeah, mm-hmm. Ira had Down syndrome. And but Peter, this is Peter's genius in the theater world, I think. He's able to conjure up activities for everybody. You know, nobody sits still when they're around Peter. So I think that's what primed Peter to I haven't talked with Peter about this, so don't hold me to issue here. I think working with Ira is what because Ira, I think Ira is actually Ophelia in the work. I haven't seen it. We were supposed to go down there, and something came up, and we didn't. But it'll probably travel. They'll probably bring it to TNT in December. They usually do a gig at TNT, Theater for a New City, on 1st Avenue and 9th Street. And they'll probably bring it there because I'm sure it's quite magnificent.
Are you going to try to get out to TNT then?
In December, yeah. Trudy will keep you posted on it.
That'd be great. When you say we, when you refer to we, I presume you're talking about you and Trudy. You guys, whenever you say...
Yeah.
Trudy, she's awesome. And now let's get back to the bubblegum portraits. I want to understand that a little bit more. Is it what it sounds like?
Yeah, but we're not going to have time. I want to go on to my partnering with Sam Green.
Okay.
All right. So I put the bubblegum portraits in a window, and it stayed there for a month. And then I asked her if I could build this bridge to nowhere, or at least a section of it in the window. So she also invited me to do that. And then when I went to take it down, when I went to strike the bridge to nowhere, I brought it inside, but it was raining. And I didn't want to load it in the rain, so I asked her, could I leave it there? And she, until, you know, a better a day. And she said, sure. And then when I came back to get it, she said, you know, because it was surrounded by her work.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So she's working in a very organic idiom. Whereas the bridge parts are very structural, you know, so, but she saw that and she said, we should really do something together. And, that's how this got started. So now it combines, and it's called the Bridge to Nowhere. Okay. So I'm going to have to go back a little bit to my youth because, I probably told you this story about Marcel Duchamp. I tell you this?
Playing chess.
Yeah. So,
you're listening to Troubadours and Rock on Tours with E.W. Conundrum Demure on WFTE Radio, Mount Cobb and Scranton, Pennsylvania. Community radio at its finest.
Yeah. Let me just recount it a little bit for your audience.
Sure.
I was going to a scholarship high school, like they were grooming us for Harvard and Yale, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's not because I was exceptionally intelligent. It's just that I could memorize very well. You know, but mm-hmm. I probably didn't have a creative grain in my head, you know. So, and I also always question authority, you know, because I'm not just going to do something if somebody tells me. I want to know why I'm doing it. So
it's one of the many things I love about you.
Well, thank you. And I couldn't really fit in because they had a dress code, they had regulations, this, that, and the other thing, and so I was always in trouble, you know. And finally, I got expelled in my sophomore year. I got expelled, and when I came back for the third year, I wound up with 6 languages, and I couldn't do it. So I went to the vice principal and I said, you know, Brother Peter, I mean, this is impossible for me. I mean, I'm having trouble with English, you know that. And he said, well, you have 2 choices. You could either just do it for this semester, and then you could, because he explained to me what happened. You know, I wasn't there when everybody filled out their ideal situation, and so they gave me whatever was left over, which happened to be 6 languages. He said you could either stick it out, you know, for this semester and next year it'll be corrected, or you'll have to leave. And I would hate to see you leave. You've been so entertaining for me. It's usually so dull around here with all those nerds, you know. You're really special, John. So
that's great.
So I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. So I left and I went to a public high school in my neighborhood in Ozone Park, John Adams High School. And of course, I had completed all the academic work. So what was left? Either art or gym. And I'm not really a jock, so I did a lot of art. So I was learning about art. I was never really exposed to art. I mean, my father drew cartoons for me, and he was very good at it, but I was never really, we didn't go to museums or anything like that. If anything, we would go to a zoo or, things on that order rather than anything higher in culture. At that time, I wanted so desperately to be a beatnik.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah, that was my focus, to be a beatnik. So of course, every weekend I would go to Greenwich Village and study the beatniks. And when I was there, I went to Washington Square Park, and I noticed this old guy. Well, he wasn't that old back then. Yeah, he was old, yeah. So this old guy who was beating everybody at chess. And, he seemed to be speaking in three different languages. So I did have French and Latin, in the scholarship high school. I thought I was the only one there that was understanding what the hell he was saying. one time when I went back to school, we're looking at an art history book, or current art history, and I see this picture that looks like him. And I steal the book, and I go to Greenwich Village that weekend, and I'm looking at the book, and I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at the book. So then I said, that's got to be him. So I started learning more about him, researching about this guy. And I was thinking, if this is him and I could beat him at chess, this is a 14-year-old head I'm talking about, If I could beat him at chess, I could beat him in art, for crying out loud, And I was really getting an inkling for art. And I would go every weekend, study his moves, study chess moves, read books about it, this, that, and the other thing. I was just concentrating on that. And because I knew beating him at art would come naturally after that. But I needed to beat him at chess first.
I love the rationale. Yeah, 14-year-old head.
Crazy, huh? Yeah. But 14 years old. Yeah. Like, give me a break, man.
It's still pretty cool. It's cool what you're focusing on. So, as a 14-year-old,
So I'm there every weekend, and he's actually taking notice to me, because I'm standing out. I'm the only young kid there. Everybody else is adults because they want to challenge him,
He's thinking, who's this weird kid
in Greenwich Village? And what were you going to say, Larry?
He's saying, who's this weird kid here every day?
Yeah. With the pimples. So finally, one weekend, and I'm talking about months and months and months after I set off on this trajectory. So one weekend, he beats everybody. Everybody leaves because they're disgusted, and I'm the only one that's standing there. And he looks at me and he says, are you ready? And I couldn't say no, because I might not get another opportunity. So I sit down, and Larry, he dumped my king in six or seven moves. It was disgraceful. So then he bends over the concrete chess table, and he says to me, you're not very good, are you? Some people think it was kind of not nice of him, but I think he was setting a challenge for me because I wasn't very good. either at chess or at art. So now I'm going to jump ahead and try and fit this in, because I know we're on a time limit. So now I'm doing this installation. We're developing this installation, and it's called A New Path to the Waterfall. Now, you probably don't know a lot about Marcel Duchamp.
But he left
what he was working on for 20 years. He left that work behind. He died in 1966. And he left that work behind, and it's called Given. And then it says, one, waterfall. Two, illuminated gas. And it's actually the first environment that anybody ever made. So what it is, it's like a diorama, but the only way he could view it is to look through this peephole, because he wanted to, he was a real manipulator. He wanted people to view this from a certain exact place, you see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the only way you could view this. So you look through this peephole and you see a waterfall, blah, 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 you know? Mm-hmm. And you got to search for the other things because, you know, he played a lot with words. So anyway, I'm finally going to give him an answer. See, when he said to me, you're not very good, are you? This is my answer to him. And it's that this is a new path to the waterfall. You know, it's not your old path, buddy, because here's a new younger guy who's still alive who also wants to bring folks to the waterfall.
I love it.
Sixty. Wow, you're not laughing. 60. Am I being serious?
No, I love it. I'm smiling here, not in my head, and you know, petting my beard as you speak.
Oh, you have a beard again.
Oh yeah, nice long white one like you and Peter. yeah, 60 years later. 60 years later, basically. Right.
That I'm finally answering his question.
Yeah.
It's probably more than 60 years. No, I was only 14, you know, and I'm in my 80s now.
You're in your 80s?
I'm sorry.
I didn't know that. No, I'm surprised. I thought you were in your 70s. I thought you were about like 74. That's what I thought.
Oh, no. Yeah. What did you do? Look that up on the internet?
What, your age?
Yeah.
No, I just, you know.
Why did you think I was, see, I don't do any kind of cyber work at all. Yeah, I'm a Luddite, you know, and I'm very fearful of technology. So the only way they could have got any information about me is through my daughter. And Trudy showed it to me once, you know, the information they had on me, and it only lists her as my only child, so that's why I'm saying it had to be her that gave him this information. And there's so much, no, not so much. There's a little bit erroneous information in there that I wouldn't bother correcting, because who the heck is going to look up John Bromberg anyway? I mean, it doesn't really matter to me. But Trudy had to point it out to me. She said, oh, look at this. And how about this? And this too. So I haven't looked lately, but that's probably somewhere around the age that they listed me.
They estimated your yeah. Well, it's good that you're.
No. She, my daughter, told them, because she, see, I don't celebrate my birthday. I celebrate other people's birthdays, but I don't celebrate mine. I was actually a Jehovah's Witness at one time. Yeah, I'm a searcher. I'm a pilgrim. So I dip into any kind of religion that has ritual attached to it, because I'm really totally interested in ritual. Yeah, and I was also a chaplain's assistant in the military, because they couldn't make anything else out of me, because I refused to carry an M16.
I remember.
And, so they had to do something kind with me. Not that the military is usually kind, but But anyway, so I don't know why I'm getting into this. It's because you accuse me of being younger than I am, see?
Sorry.
And,
you
know, a guy who has a bald head and has so much gray hair couldn't be that young.
Well, your energy, I mean, you have such great energy. It makes one think of youth. You know, I mean, you're physically, you're a certain age, of course, but, and I guess you have an old soul.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
You have great energy, great energy. And that, you know, that, that equates to youth, I guess, in my mind.
So when the bubblegum portraits, or even the New Path to the Waterfall, when they come to the Scranton area, make sure, especially for the bubblegum portraits of friends, that you come to the opening, because we'll be doing a contestoria, and the contestoria, do you know that word?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So but you know what it is.
Well, for the listeners, explain. Go ahead.
Well, it's an ancient form of theater, and it's kind of like a picture show, you know, drawn or painted picture show with music and song. So you know, and you flip pages. It's like a flip book, and it's become quite. A lot of artists are beginning to explore it again, because it's really something special, you know, just like they re-explored toy theater. See, toy theater was a Victorian thing, and now it's making a large comeback, and, you know, our artists are tweaking it, of course. You know, like toy theater in Victorian times, you know, they would do Hamlet, or not turning it upside down, but they would do things like that, Shakespeare. So it was these rich folks who didn't want to hire a hall, or they would do this in their living room. So they found these artists who could do it in miniature, and that's why it's called toy theater. And Great Small Works is a fabulous practitioner of it. They're in Boston and New York, and they're actually also attached to Bread and Puppet, and toured with them when they went to France and Russia and all over the place. So, but now I still see them up there a lot, and you know, they're all my friends, and so they still, you know, they still need Peter's
guidance.
Madness.
Better yet. Now, we're almost out of time for this conversation, though, you know, we have one every year, and I look forward to them. Before we say goodbye, or until the opening of the show, I want you to maybe let people know, I know you're a Luddite, how could they find out a little bit more about what's going on with your work, the bubblegum portraits, you know, your Bridge to Nowhere, and whatever else is coming up. Is there a way they could go onto the internet and seek something out, or get on an email list or something?
They could get on Trudy's email list, and you could give it to them. They could get in touch with you, and you could give them Trudy's. Not that we want to blurt it over the airwaves.
Okay.
But they could call you, and you could give them Trudy's email address. She does cyberspace. God bless her.
Well, anybody that wants the information, email me ewconundrum@radiofreebrooklyn.org. ewconundrum@radiofreebrooklyn.org, and then I'll get your information out to Trudy. And
right,
that sounds good. So in the closing moments of our 2022 conversation, what do you want to say to the listeners? You know, anything you want to share, impart?
Yeah, well, we're all still working on freeing Ukraine from this madness. We'll be doing anything possible that will help that situation, because it's dreadful. And I guess you know that the Ukrainians actually took over our Mudball Festival. That it happens in Lordville now, which started as a Russian community. So there's Russian friends over there and Ukrainian friends, and of course they're doing things to. I think art helps. You know, I mean, I have a lot of connection with the celestial. And I think art is a good vehicle for connecting with the celestial. And I think, I believe that the celestial will help with this stupid situation. I mean, I just read a marvelous book by Leonard Schlein. And it's called the Alphabet versus the Goddess. Mm-hmm. And it's all about how patriarchy came about, and it's just marvelous. It's he blames it all on the Gutenberg press. I met him I think a couple of times, and he's a nut. And but if you get a chance, Larry, check it out. The Alphabet versus the Goddess.
I wrote it down.
It's quite a theory. It's his theory, and you don't necessarily have to go along with it, but it puts a lot of questions in your head.
Yeah.
Just what you need, right?
I need more questions. More questions, yeah. I need more to ponder and to be perplexed by. Thanks, John.
Yeah.
No.
So are you still teaching?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Looking forward
to it. Yeah, good. Yeah, good. Because you're a damn good teacher.
Well, thank you. You've given me so
all
many
right.
compliments. You've given me so many compliments today. I don't know how to deal with them.
Thank oh, no. You. I better. We better end this.
Yeah.
You think I have the hots for you?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're just gonna feed. You're gonna feed my outside ego even more. But it is a pleasure talking to you, John. It really is. Performing.
Oh man, I enjoy this so much, Larry.
Yeah, me too.
But please come to a show of ours.
I will. Guaranteed.
Or visit me. Better yet, visit me.
Before,
I mean,
before
it's
this
blueberry
year.
Season, for crying out loud. You could fill your back of your whatever you're driving, automobile, with blueberries.
I
There's
will be
so
up.
Many this year. It's an incredible year for blueberries, but not apples. Apples are here anyway. I'm not talking about all of Pennsylvania, but that's what's happening here. Blueberries, the best. I've been here. What did I say? 50 years, right?
50, 60,
Yeah, and this is, I've never seen it like this. It's extraordinary. So, bring your bucket and check it out. And bring your wife and bring your kids and bring your whole damn neighborhood, because there's so many blueberries. You wouldn't believe it.
I love it. And one of our regular contributors, Surf William, he wants to come up and meet you. He listens to every one of our conversations, and he really wants to meet you. So I might bring him, too. He's a good guy.
Oh, please. Yeah. Oh, please. Yeah, yeah. Bring all your listeners. Put it at the end of this series here that you're doing. That everybody's invited to John's house.
We'll start a new festival. We'll start a new festival.
Okay, boy, we covered a lot. You're off the air now, right?
No, okay. We're still on. But thank you so much.
Oh, you're still on. Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Thank you so much, John.
Thank you. Thank you, Larry. And please do visit.
I will. We'll talk with you very soon. Ciao.
Okay, great. Bye now.
boys in blazers, union labor, the last of the line, but to get on. Leering drivers, beery lifers, and I want to know when we go on, 'cause we travel. Fair, nearly nowhere. Meet the new dolphin of Duluth. No one knows you. Nations love you. Please let me know when I can recuse myself if I choose. But we're traveling on.
And there you have it, episode 483 of Troubadours and Raconteurs with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. I'd like to thank those folks who made this episode possible. First and foremost, our good friend, John Bromberg. And these musical artists, Thelonious Monk, Carson McCone, Morphine, The Decemberists, Branford Marsalis, and Terrence Blanchard, too. And of course, I would like to thank you for listening. Until next time, let's give it a go and do our best with this time. Take care.